Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Too long last week. No one's got time to listen to that and the proper music that we have as well. Welcome to JGB episode 60. Copping at Norfolk State. First time back at Marty Miller Field since the MEAC 2022 win. The profile picture actually on your Twitter account is actually when you're stood right next to the fence in that key game when you're giving like little high fives through the bars and stuff. That was at that stadium, because last year they came up to Coppin, so first time back. All right, give us the all time info then, Jackson.
All right, Coppin has 35 wins and 98 losses all time against Norfolk State, but are on a 4-game win streak going into this one.
Yeah, so while we've been watching, Norfolk State's been kind of one of the whipping boys a little bit. But obviously, long-term, it's actually Coppin who's been the ones who's struggling. All right, let's start off with Game 1 Friday, April 12th. Game 1. Going into this, Coppin are 7-19 and Norfolk State are 9-24. So actually, Norfolk's got more wins at this point. But Coppin has more NEC wins at this point.
Alright, first inning, 2-0 Norfolk. Third inning, 4-5 Norfolk. Fifth inning, 6-6. Mm-hmm. Fifth inning, 8.
Good math skills. Eight to six.
Uh-huh. Coppin. Sixth inning, 12-6. Coppin.
And that's when we'll stop, because we've got the big inning coming up. So Coppin's just started to take a lead, but let's see what happened in the top of the seventh. All right. New pitcher came in. Moore hit by a pitch. Advanced to a second on a pass ball. Angel walked. Angel advanced to second on a throwing error. Black walked. Man, there's a lot of walks going on right now.
New pitcher,
not surprisingly. Merciano walked. and Anthony DiVittorio homered to right field for four RBIs on a grand slam. Kai Holm doubled to left center. Damon Gaither doubled down the right field line. Sam Nieves walked. Chris Marte struck out swinging. Daniel Moore single to left center. Daniel Moore was the person who opened the inning up, in case you've not been keeping track.
Yeah.
Angel flied out to right field, and then Brody struck out swinging, unfortunately. Started the inning 12-6. At the end of the inning, it was 20-6. 8 runs on 4 hits, 2 errors, and just 1 left on base. And obviously, that's going to be a Coppin win. But go ahead. Anything else in this one?
No. 18-11 hits.
Mm-hmm.
Went to 4 errors.
Yeah, 4 errors by Norfolk, including in that error there. But final score, yeah, 20-6. Game time, exactly 3 hours. 36 in attendance. Windy, it does say. I'm starting to look at the weather after what you noticed the other week.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it said. It was something like not baseball weather or something.
It said,
and somebody didn't even fill one in one time. So I'm starting to pay more attention to those ones.
If they hit any foul balls on the left side of the field, it's going to the rails.
It is, yeah.
I wonder if they've ever hit a train.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
Because that would be fun.
Not for the people on the train, probably.
That would be cool.
Starting pitcher, Nico Felber, 6 innings, 5 earned runs, 5 strikeouts. Liam McCollum came in for an inning of work with no earned runs, just 1 hit. Jaden Hurd came in, 1 inning, no hits. And Justin Ritz came in for 1 inning and no hits. So 11 total hits from Coppin pitchers and 18 total hits from Norfolk State pitchers. So good start to game one. That's how we're looking to go. I'm trying to catch up right now. Coppin State are out of the playoffs at this point, so we're trying to move up top 6. I think Coppin are about 10th at this point, so looking to catch up a little bit. All right, game two then, JJ.
But I want to say something about the first pitcher.
Oh, sure.
There was 11 hits, 8 runs, and 7 of them were earned.
Mm. Yeah, I did forget to say, normally I ask you about the players as well. I forgot to ask you. There was actually a significant Coppin performance in game one as well.
Anthony.
Yeah.
and Kai.
Seven at-bats? Like, that tells you how many times they were batting around the inning to get that. So what was Anthony's final figures?
He had 4 hits, 4 RBIs.
Yeah. Quite a lot of RBIs, obviously, in this one, so it was 20 in total.
And then Kai had 3 hits and 2 RBIs.
Mm-hmm. Daniel Moore had 4 hits and 3 RBIs.
Noah had 3 walks.
Yeah, yeah. Looking on the Norfolk State side.
Not many walks.
Manny Jackson, your namesake. 3 for 5. That's not too bad with an RBI. And Colin Curry.
With four at-bats
and had 4 RBIs. So they were the significant. Actually, 4 out of the 6 runs came from Colin. Wonder if that was a home run. Might be. 2 hits. It's got to be at least one. Well, it's got to be at least a double or a triple at some point. I don't know. All right, game two.
I don't know where game two is.
Sorry. Game two.
Hey, I can barely see the Norfolk State logo. It's kind of cropped off. It's just the left side.
Yeah, I sort of cut it out because you don't need it. I thought it'd be easier for you to see the numbers.
All right.
So when I do the box score now, I tend... Yeah, because all it says on the end is weather, but then the weather's on the next line anyway, so...
All right. First inning, 2-1 Norfolk State. Second inning, 3-1 Norfolk State. Third inning, 2-4 Norfolk State. Fourth inning,
5-4
Norfolk State. Fifth inning, 5-5. Sixth inning, 8-6
mm-hmm.
Norfolk State.
And nothing in the seventh, and this will prepare for the big inning, of course. So the big inning from this one, top of the eighth, it's Coppin State. So down 8-6. Sencio in for designated hitter, struck out swinging. Daniel Moore walked. Angel walked. I'm noticing a theme here. Angel advanced on a wild pitch. Watson walked. Wow, there's a lot of walks in this one. And then Black singled to right field, but advanced to second on a fielding error. And then other people advanced on that one, and there was actually 3 runs on that play. DiVittorio ground out to shortstop. Kai Holm flied out to right field to end the inning. 3 runs, but just a single hit on this one from Brody. And
6 to 3 errors.
And one, a lot of errors. So going into the bottom of this, then it's 9-8 now. So how did the game finish then?
9-8.
Oh, that was the finish. So yeah, thankfully the pitchers managed to come in and they managed to keep everybody out. Let's have a look who was the starting pitchers for this one. Starting pitcher was Alec Elgus, 5.1 innings, 600. We saw him pitch this weekend, so we'll talk about that on the next episode. And John Neal came in and took the win, 1.2 innings, 1 earned run. And Clay Thompson got the save, 2 innings, just 1 hit and no earned runs. So, yeah, Norfolk State in the 8th and 9th were completely shut out by Clay Thompson, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't give him much at all. A couple of strikeouts. There was 3 walks in there, but he managed to not let them advance any further than that. What about batting performances?
1 hit spread out pretty evenly.
Yeah, no real kind of standout figure.
Anthony had two RBIs.
Yep.
Daniel had three walks.
Daniel and Angel had 3 walks. Yeah, that was...
And Brody had 2.
And when you look at the other team, though, there was some
What is Bob?
Left on base.
Oh.
So there were some big numbers on hit. So when they came to bat, so supposing bases are loaded, and then you leave them loaded, then you left 3 people on base. And Norfolk State's figures
Sam
were...
Sam had 5 LOB.
Well, that just depends how many people he had on one at the time.
And so did Justin.
Okay.
On Norfolk State,
there were some big performances, actually. Jalen Jones with 3 hits, and then a few people with 2. Jamal Ritter, Manny Jackson again, Colin Curry again, we mentioned him, Kydice Queen, and Brendan Burke. So they actually had quite a few hits in this one. Actually, you didn't read that part out. 14 hits to 6 hits, and I don't think you meant the last part either. You're forgetting your job right here. 5 errors from Norfolk State, which obviously didn't help. And 3 from Coppin as well, so quite a few errors.
Norfolk State had more hits.
They did. That's why
they had more than double.
That's why I was reading through. I was like, there's a lot of people who hit here. John Horton took the 4.2 innings, 2 earned runs. I think there was more runs than that, but they just weren't earned runs. Yeah, there was 5 runs, but only 2 of them were earned because of errors. And Ethan Blake,
all right.
Blake and he took the loss.
What is IBB?
IBB?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're looking at.
Pitching. HBP. It's next to HBP. It's next to hit by pitch.
Oh, is it bases on balls? Intentional bases on balls. I haven't seen that before, there was so I had to figure that out on the fly. There's not going to be, right? It's very... That's more a tactical thing at the end of a
game.
That's
only if Damon Gaither is up and there's bases loaded.
Well, if it was bases loaded, I don't know you necessarily want to walk him.
Or Barry Bonds is up to bat.
Barry Bonds' figures for that are crazy. All right, game three. So this is on the Sunday... And I am going to let you get all the way until the end of the ninth inning.
I already found a standout figure.
Okay, well, tell us about the game first, though.
Third inning, 3-2 Coppin. Mm-hmm. Fourth inning, 6-2 Coppin. Mm-hmm. Fifth inning, 7-3 Coppin. Mm-hmm. Sixth inning,
7-6
Coppin. Ninth inning, 7-7. I got to the end of the ninth, like you said.
Okay, so there was nothing in the seventh, nothing in the eighth, and if they could have shut Norfolk State out, it would have been a win, but as is Coppin, they managed to let them get one win on one run. So we are heading into the tenth. So the tenth inning, obviously, is the crucial part. We're playing extra baseball here. So the top, I'm going to do the top and the bottom so you can hear how the game went, okay? Replacements in the field, but Gaither singled up the middle, Nieves walked. Marte doubled down the left field line and then advanced on a wild pitch.
So, one run scored.
Daniel Moore struck out. Actually, two runs were scored at this point. Victor Alonghi, pinch hit. Marte scored on a wild pitch. There's another run. Victor Alonghi flied out, and then Brody Black flied out. Lined out to first baseman.
So, that's three.
So, 10-7. Three runs on just two 11 hits.
11-11 hits.
Okay, and then the bottom then, so how did Norfolk do? Alonghi stayed at third base, because that was one of the changes in the previous inning. Rodriguez struck out swinging. Queen struck out swinging. Mazzell walked, but then Burke struck out swinging as well. No runs, no nearly hits, no errors. Three. Just one person left on base.
It was a 1-2, walk, three.
Yeah, so it was a good final inning, and the pitchers for this one, Caden Straley, five innings, six earned runs, but Liam McCollum in relief, five innings, just two hits, one earned run, and nine strikeouts. Like, that's absolutely incredible. So, you know, normally when they bring those relief pitchers in, often it's just for an inning or two. Liam managed to go five, and in that fifth inning, didn't allow a hit, and so it's the sweep, JJ. Coppin won all three games on the road in Norfolk State. So, what about the batters, though?
Alright.
Oh, final, it was 11 hits, so you said that. Three errors for Norfolk State. I think there might be 12 in the series. That's a lot.
Chris Marte had some pretty good bats.
Okay.
Four hits, six RBIs.
Four for four.
Sam had three walks.
Mm-hmm.
Where was it?
There's a few people with two walks.
Noah had three hits, one RBI.
Yeah, I can see three other people. It's four other people who had two
Angel,
walks as well.
Daniel, so. Damon, and Anthony had two walks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that'll do. Jalen Jones had three hits for Norfolk State, but with the exception of Cam Mazzell, who had two, everybody else had one or fewer. So, yeah.
Jalen Jones had two RBIs.
He did. Yep.
And Cam had two walks.
Uh-huh. And I think that's about it. Norfolk State, Liam Royster was a starting pitcher. Three innings, no earned runs. You kind of feel that's a pretty good start, actually. But hey, it's the way it goes. It was three runs, though, because there was those errors. Parker Hampton came in for four innings and gave up four runs. Mac Yarbrough, two innings, two runs. And Joe Lefebvre, I think it is. Perhaps I'm adding a bit too much of a French pronunciation on this one. I don't know. Took the loss. He gave up the one run in the 10th inning, unfortunately. And some pretty big performances then from Coppin. So on the Tuesday, they normally do their awards, JJ. So how about you tell us about the NEC Baseball Prime Performers of the Week? Some of those names you might recognize a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be interested to see if you can figure out what the abbreviations are for some of these as well.
Pasqualini,
mm-hmm.
CCSU.
Central Connecticut.
Okay, Central Connecticut State University.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Marte.
Mm-hmm.
Coppin State University.
Uh-huh.
Liam McCollum.
I would hope Liam for that 5 innings pitched and no one runs.
Coppin State University again.
Yeah.
Amparo, Delaware State University.
Mm-hmm.
E. Bolden,
mm-hmm.
Delaware State University. K. Bolden,
Delaware State University. Did you remember FDU? Those people?
No.
Oh, I did. It's Evan and Crew Bolden. I remember they were brothers. I remember them from when we traveled over to Delaware State last year. Possibly the year before that.
Delaware State University. Caps, FDU, Power, LIU.
I think that's Long Island University.
Yeah. Fiorentina, Merrimack.
I think you're right, yep.
Jones, NSU.
That'll be Norfolk State.
Yeah, Norfolk State.
Oh, yeah. We mentioned him a few times. Jalen Jones, yeah.
Kovalich.
I think it's Kovalchik.
Kovalchik. SHU. Sacred Heart University. Mm-hmm. Gasper. STO.
Recognize that one?
STU.
I'm not sure. Isn't that like Stonehill or something? It might be that. I'm not sure. Anyway, we recognize a few of those.
Wouldn't that be SHU?
They can do whatever they like in their abbreviations. Like, you know, state abbreviations don't follow a particular rule, right? They
Pennsylvania, make them up as they go along, PA. So.
Now, I actually took down the game for this one. We don't normally do this one. But look at this one, JJ. Talk us through this game. This will be a good challenge for you.
Right.
This is Delaware State versus Merrimack. I'm assuming this is why these guys got...
Dang.
Go ahead. I might have to help you out with some numbers.
First inning, 3-2 Delaware.
Yep.
Second inning, 9-3, Merrimack.
Yep.
Third inning, 6-10,
good.
Merrimack.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth inning, 9-12,
Merrimack.
Mm-hmm. Fifth inning, let's see, 13,
yep.
Merrimack.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth inning, 16-10, Merrimack.
Mm-hmm.
Seventh inning, 17-12, Merrimack.
And if we were doing this seriously, this is where I'd interrupt with the big inning. So, top of the eighth, Delaware State got 6 to get the lead. And then in the bottom, Merrimack got 4 to retake the lead. And then in the top of the ninth, Delaware got 4 more. Final score, JJ?
22-21, Delaware State. 23 hits to 19 hits. And 2 errors for both.
Game time is only 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Dang.
I was shocked when I saw that. I was like, that's probably like a 5-hour game.
Attendance 102.
I'm glad over 100 people got to see it.
Weather, not a good day for baseball.
Oh, I spoiled it. I think I said that earlier.
Yeah.
I noticed you saw something earlier, and I saw this one. I was like, I want to include it for that reason as well.
Not a good day for baseball.
The Norfolk game, actually, I saw on the Saturday, because I played a disc golf tournament. It was really windy. They had the same thing in Norfolk. It said winds were over 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, that's pretty strong on this
one. Where's Alumni Field?
That would be Merrimack Stadium, because they're listed second. Bolden went 8-13, batting 6-15 while hitting 3 homers, including a grand slam in the 9th inning of Delaware State's 22-21 victory over Merrimack. He scored a total of 9 runs and had 8 RBIs over the weekend. So, yeah, that final inning that we did, the 4 runs, they were all on... it doesn't say which Bolden. I'm thinking it was Crew Bolden, but I'm not sure. And then there's some more awards as well.
NECU Baseball Weekly Awards Week Co-Players of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Marte,
mm-hmm.
At Coppin Baseball. Crew Bolden at Hornets BSB.
Yeah, so Crew Bolden, I assume, is the person that hit that grand slam based on that. But yeah, that would be kind of tough to split those two players because they both had great weeks. And what about pitcher of the week,
Liam McCollum?
Yeah, McCollum.
At Coppin State Sports.
They just tag them so the individual schools can see it and then they can repost it and share with their students as well. McCollum put together 6 innings of work on the mound in 2...
Mm. 6 innings of work on the mound in 2 games against Norfolk State last week. He struck out 11 batters and walked 4 more while only giving up 3 hits and 1 earned run.
Okay, I better stay quiet. Keep going.
NEC Baseball Rookie of the Week, Chris Marte, Coppin Sports.
I didn't realize he was a rookie. He looks older than a freshman in my head. I thought he was a sophomore or a junior, I'll be honest.
Marte scored 7 runs and drove in 9 more, with all his RBIs coming in CSU's weekend sweep of Norfolk State. Marte homered twice in CSU's series and posted a 500/619 and 1,071 slash for a 1,671 OPS.
Yeah, 1.671 OPS is insane.
619 is the second one.
It is. Yeah, obviously the innings that we chose, we didn't get to see Chris Marte's homers in those ones. So it's the way it goes, I guess, for this one. Now, the history. So the weekend, that was the weekend done. Tuesday game, I want to say. Might be Wednesday, not sure. Was against Towson. So you have the last few games. So anything that's...
It's from May 6th to 2003.
It is. I think I've actually... These are the last few games. So how's it been going overall, would you say, in the last few games?
Well, they tied once in 2015.
They did. That's pretty
unusual. I don't
know
how you do that in baseball.
We already talked about that, how that can happen.
Oh, yeah.
But
2016, well, it's all the way. 2016, they lost.
Mm-hmm.
2017, they lost.
Mm-hmm.
2018, they lost. 2019, they won. In 2023, they won.
There's some pretty close games in there. So, obviously, the tie is very close. There's a 7-8 in there.
Well,
7-5.
The tie is the
5-2, 4-3. So they've been pretty close in recent games, for sure. And I'm glad you mentioned the tie, though, because I wanted to talk about that a little bit. This is from their webpage on Towson. Despite memorable efforts from Bryant Miranda and Jeffrey Fitch and Jack Kraft, the Coppin State baseball saw a late 3-run edge disappear and had to settle for a 7-7 tie with Towson in 10 innings at soggy Sherholtz Park in a non-conference contest Tuesday afternoon. The game was halted in the top of the 11th because of darkness. There you go. In the first time, Coppin State, 3-25-2, has had 2 ties in a regular season, according to athletic records dating back to 1984. Amazingly, Coppin State has played to a tie twice in a 6-day period. The Eagles had 4 ties as a program since 1984, and it was also the second draw this season for Towson. So I know you always talk about the ties are pretty rare. 2 in 6 days? That's crazy. Like last week's deadlock at LaSalle, this one was tough to take for the Eagles, who never trailed against the Tigers, or for that matter, the Explorers. In each game, Coppin State led by at least 3 runs, only to have both teams rally for the equalizer before the game could end. The game against LaSalle was on April 8th. It was in Philadelphia, and the final score was 4-4. So, yeah, I feel a little bit sorry about that one. I did see in a couple of those games, Coach Dower was 0-1 with a walk on April 8th, and 2-3 on with a walk on April 14th. And as I looked at that, I noticed, oh, you can click on the profiles of the players and see pictures too.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see a junior picture of Coach Dower. And then I tried to go back to 2013, and unfortunately the freshmen, they didn't have pictures at that time on the website. So that was as far as we could go. All right. How did the midweek game go then?
All right. Second inning, 3-2, Towson.
Mm-hmm.
Third inning, 3-4, Towson.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth inning, it is 5-3, Towson.
And that's where you're going to stop, because we're in a key part of the game. Either Towson's going to take a big lead or Coppin's going to come back. So the big inning for this one. Now, I do want to talk about one thing. Angel hit a 2-run home run to left field in the second inning. That's his first career Coppin home run. And Damon Gaither hit his Coppin High 7th home run of the season to right field in the third. It was only a solo shot, unfortunately. Kai Holm grounded into a double play on the previous play. So there might have been somebody on base, unfortunately, but that's the way it goes. Top of the fifth, Holm flied out. Gaither walked. Nieves singled through the left side. Marte singled through the left side. Daniel Moore grounded out on a bunt, but people advanced on that. And then Angel singled to left field, but it was out at second, trying to steal base, I guess. So three runs, three hits, one error. And instead of being 5-3 down, Coppin are now 6-5 going into the bottom of this one. All right, you want to talk through some more then?
Sixth inning, 7-6. Seven hits to seven.
So we've got a tied game.
One to zero error.
So I could be 7-7.
One to zero errors. 7-7 hits.
Oh, on hits, yes. Yeah, unfortunately, Towson won 7-6. There was no... Coppin did not get a run in the 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th. It stayed pretty close.
Attendance, 222.
Three.
Close enough.
It is close enough. I'm surprised you misread
the number. Weather 65°F, mostly cloudy.
That's Fahrenheit.
It says F.
Yeah, for Fahrenheit. Did you not know F was Fahrenheit?
I do.
All right, starting pitches for Coppin. Giovanni Canales took the loss again, unfortunately. He took the loss last week against George Washington, I think, too. Five innings pitched, seven earned runs, unfortunately. Brandon Stevens came in, two innings of relief, just a single hit, no earned runs. Jackson Montgomery, one inning, no runs. And for Towson, Brett Salas was the starter, 4.1 innings, five earned runs. And Brandon Young took the win, his first of the season, 1.2 innings, two hits, just a single run. And the save went to Max Simpson. All right, any performances from Coppin standing out for you there? We mentioned some home runs, but anything else?
See, Angel, three hits, three RBIs. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the hits that's were pretty spread
much
it. Out.
Yeah, pretty much spread out. Yeah, Angel was definitely the star performer on that one. And for Towson, I see that Bryce Frederick had three hits, and that would be the kind of a similar thing. After Jordan Payton had two, nobody else had more than one hit, and over half the team had zero hits. So, yeah, they relied on some big performances from that one. I did have the bottom of the sixth, which was significant, but no need to read that out. I don't think that's too important. And what do I have this time for us? Oh, for some reason, I included the same thing twice because I didn't notice it. No college this week, JJ, but I do want to talk about something about baseball related, though. I saw this on This Week in Baseball. This is Jake Rill on MLB.com. It was the fifth straight game in which the Orioles have hit 3+ home runs in a game, tied for the second longest streak in MLB history since 1900. Who are they behind? The 1987 Orioles, who did it in six straight games from May 8th to May 13th that year. The club previously had a five-game streak also on August 6th to the 10th, 1996.
So the Orioles are good at that?
Orioles are pretty good at getting three homers in a game or more. That's a lot. To do that five games in a row, that's pretty crazy.
And also six.
And well, instead of six. Unfortunately, I didn't write down which day that was. It was possible they've beaten the record now. I don't know. But I saw that stat and thought it was interesting. Meanwhile, the 2024 Orioles lead the MLB with 30 home runs after securing their second sweep of the season. So this was midweek sometime that I wrote that down, so I'm not exactly sure when it was. All right, name game. Last week's answer. You were struggling on this one, Jay. It was a bit of a trick one. It was Sparky Anderson, who was actually a manager, not a player. I'm giving some slightly cryptic clues now. I'm going to tell you in a second, because I mentioned he won a World Series in the 70s and the 80s, but I said he played for the Brooklyn Dodgers in the 50s. Now, if you play for the Dodgers in the 50s, how are you going to still be playing in the 80s? Like, that's too far apart. So there's a little bit of a way you could figure this one out. He managed the National League Cincinnati Reds to the 1975 and 76 championships. To me, that's what he's most famous for. That 1975 World Series is really famous against the Red Sox. But yeah, the Big Red Machine. And then added a third title in 1984 with the Detroit Tigers of the American League. Anderson was the first manager to win the World Series in both leagues. His 2,194 career wins are the sixth most of a manager in Major League history, and he was named American League Manager of the Year in 84 and 87. He was elected to the Hall of Fame in 2000. All right, so the one I have for you this week, Jackson, is... And I'm not sure if you pronounce the middle name like this, but I don't think... Middle name doesn't really help you anyway, does it? So... P. Jaime M.
P. M.
Uh-huh. And I have some clues.
Okay. Well, so, P. M.
Mm-hmm. Not Prime Minister, either.
I know that it's not clue. Prime Minister.
First clue. In his early life, he did not have enough money to afford baseballs, so he improvised with oranges.
All right. It makes me feel like Cuba or Puerto Rico.
Okay. All right, next clue. The second player from the Dominican Republic to be inducted into the Hall of Fame after, and I didn't think you knew this person, Juan Maracol. You mentioned that you knew Juan Maracol the other week. I was like, okay, I didn't think you knew that person.
No, that was Valenzuela.
Oh, it was Valenzuela. Wrong pitcher. All
right, let's
wrong pitch. I'm getting my pitchers all mixed up there.
Ortiz?
P something
no. Oh,
M.
No. All right, give me another one.
He won 3 Cy Young Awards and was runner-up twice. So that should tell you what position he plays
now. I know, yeah. So then pitcher with P-O.
P-M.
P-M.
Yeah, you said Ortiz. I didn't say that. Because we said Prime Minister earlier, so it's definitely P-M.
P-M.
All right, fourth clue.
Yeah.
His number 45 was retired by the Boston Red Sox in July 2015.
All right.
I think that's about as much as I can really give you.
Pedro. Dang it.
Oh.
I was thinking Pedro half Martinez.
That's it, Pedro Martinez.
Oh.
What do you think Martinez starts with?
I thought it was an O.
I
keep thinking it's an O.
Now, the fifth one, I just thought was a cool stat, and it wouldn't have helped you get him at all, is the only pitcher other than Max Scherzer to compile over 3,000 career strikeouts with fewer than 3,000 innings pitched in his career. I thought that was a cool stat. I did not know that stat at all.
It's because Max Scherzer just makes him throw as fast as he can.
Uh-huh. I don't know how we're going to do this one. All right. The one for the fans this week is going to be a little difficult. I don't know if this is too many clues. Let's go with this one. All right. C. Daniel E. Okay. C as in cat, E as in egg. The Daniel's obviously no help at all. Here's the stats for this person. During the 1953 season, he won 20 games and set a World Series record with 14 strikeouts in a single game. He also pitched 2 of the NL National League's 7 no-hitters during the 50s.
Wait,
So that's obviously a pretty famous pitcher. This
wait,
is
what was the initial?
Do not say the answer out loud. This is for our fans to try.
Okay, what was the initial?
C and E. Okay.
Dang it. No,
all right.
It's not what I thought.
Time to play it out.
All right, it's not what I thought then.
Okay. I can tell you as soon as you played
Sandy
the outro.
Koufax,
not
but
Sandy
it's not that.
He was more 60s.
All right.
But that's a good guess.